This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
16th to go, an American Pharoah and firing line, and it's American Pharoah pulling away late. American Pharoah rules the Derby.
Chicago's about to erupt. The Illinois Red, the Pizza Man, just won the Arlington Million under Marone Giroux.
Presented by Abracadabra Farm, Adena Springs, Airdrie Stud, American Racehorse Magazine, BetAmerica.com, Brisnet.com, Cal Density, Castleton Lions, Claiborne Farm, Coolmore, Daily Racing Form, Darley, DerbyBox.com, FarmPaint.com, Flair Equine Nasal Strips, Gainesway, Jimmy John's, Kentucky Bank, Tollgate Hay and Straw, Kentucky Downs, the Kentucky Horse Racing Commission, Lane's End, the Lexus Store of Lexington, Maryland Thoroughbred, Mill Ridge, Nicholson Insurance, Owner View, Pin Oak Stud, Ramsey Farm, Santa Anita, Spendthrift Farm, Washington Hay, and Woodbine Entertainment.
One final try, down to the finish, Noble Bird, Lee, here's the wire, Noble Bird! Fantastic in the Foster! It's American Pharoah with that majestic stride, pouring it on through the stretch. Keen Ice runs in the second. American Pharoah, the party continues as he rolls home in the Haskell.
Now, here's Mike Penna.
Good morning once again, everyone, and welcome to the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, coming to you live from the Keeneland Sales Pavilion for the 13th consecutive year, as we once again prepare to get a glimpse of the future stars of the sport of thoroughbred racing. The 72nd Keeneland September Yearling Sale begins Monday at 11 a.m., and the very first horse of more than 4,000 yearlings slated to be sold over the 12-day sale will step into the iconic auction ring here in the heart of the Bluegrass. And if this sale appears to have a bit of a, well, maybe a little extra buzz to it this year, you can blame it on Breeders' Cup, because the Breeders' Cup World Championships is returning to Kentucky and returning, well, actually not really returning, but coming to Keeneland for the very first time in the event's 32-year history on October 30th and 31st. And just in case you're wondering about that Breeders' Cup countdown as we edge closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships, 48 days, 7 hours, and 28 minutes away from that Breeders' Cup right here at Keeneland. And that means that we are just 20 days, 2 hours, 57 minutes, and 5 seconds away from the start of the Keeneland October race meet on October 2nd. And we will be there to bring you all of that action throughout the entire meet and through the Breeders' Cup World Championships, as well as your exclusive radio home for both of those events. And can't wait to get started with that coverage. Of course, all of our coverage of the Breeders' Cup World Championships is presented by our friends at Cal Density. And this morning, as we preview the Keeneland September sale, it's appropriate that I would have Jim Krigal, the owner and CEO of Cal Density, positioned just to my left here this morning. And Jim, welcome to the program. Can't thank you enough for your support of what we're doing with Breeders' Cup Week, and happy to have you on board as the title sponsor of that coverage, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here, and it's a privilege to be associated with this industry and the owners and the trainers and the folks that take care of these operations on a daily basis. It's just a real privilege to be.
I mentioned the fact that we start to get a glimpse of the future stars of the sport with this Keeneland September yearling sale. And so many of the yearlings that we'll see go under the gavel are fed Cal Density supplements. And I know that's something that you're very, very proud of.
We are very proud of. We should. These yearlings that are presented this year, some of their mothers have been fed Cal Density. So it's the whole generation, and we're really excited about that.
Yeah, it's a great game. And when you think about some of the names associated with these yearlings here in this sale, well, first of all, let's talk about the stakes winners that have come out of this sale in 2015, because it is a who's who of outstanding racehorses in our sport. Among them are 25 graded or Group 1 stakes winners this year alone, including Beholder, you know her, winner of the Pacific Classic and, of course, the Clement L. Hirsch Stakes earlier this year. She may be pointed to the Breeders' Cup Classic right here at Keeneland on October 31st. Carpe Diem, winner of the Toyota Bluegrass Stakes, Carolina, the Acorn Coaching Club American Oaks winner, Dame Dorothy, Include Betty, Keen Ice, winner of the Travers. I mean, the list goes on and on and on when you talk about Keeneland sales graduates that are winning Grade 1 races all over the world.
A couple of those ring a bell.
I'm sure they do.
Yes, we don't try to mention names unless we have pre-approval from some of those do ring a bell.
Yeah, it's spectacular. On the stallion side of things, of course, you have that great stallion representation as you do each and every year with the Keeneland sale. Yearlings catalog for this year's sale are by established sires such as Arch and Awesome Again and Bernardini, Curlin, Blame, Candy Ride. I mean, that list is very impressive.
That's
as well.
That's amazing, yeah. That is really amazing.
You know, the one factoid that I found very interesting about this year's sale is the fact that Keeneland is the only U.S.-based sales company to offer offspring by Frankel this year, who stands in England.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, pretty cool to see that happening as well.
Frankel, that's Jack Van Berg protege. You need study under Jack Van Berg?
Yeah, Frankel.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Great to see him, and of course, Jack Van Berg, good friend of yours
as
well.
He's a good friend of ours. I speak to him frequently, maybe once a week, and he's got some great one-liners. I just love talking to him. Because I love talking to all these owners and trainers. I'm like a sponge. I just pick up everything that they say. And we are great listeners at Cal Density. And we just really enjoy speaking to these, and especially our veterinarians that handle our products.
What first gave you the idea to start Cal Density?
Well, that's a long story. We really got it by default. A couple of the partners that originated it fell out. At the time, we were fulfilling the OCD pellet manufacturing, and those two fell out. And one got the OCD pellets, the other one got Cal Density. Then a financial problem arose, and we eventually acquired the Cal Density brand.
Yeah.
Along with a lot of problems that came with it. We had FDA come and visit us for about 3 weeks based on some of the language that was on the internet from the previous owners.
Sure.
So we had to get that all cleaned up. Once we got that cleaned up, back on track, we've done pretty well.
Well, if you want to learn more about Cal Density, you can go to caldensity.com and get a description of all their products. We're going to talk about all of the products associated with Cal Density, and we'll do that coming up throughout the program here this morning, but also going to preview this Keeneland September yearling sale as we do each and every year. And we're going to begin after our first commercial break with Tom Thornberry, who is the Associate Director of Sales here at Keeneland. Always fun to visit with Tom and catch up and hear about what you can look forward to over the course of this 12-day sale, which begins on Monday at 11 a.m. Kyle Klonizos from Stone Farm is going to be with us at 8:30 Eastern Time. We'll talk to him about their consignment. We'll talk to him about what's involved with prepping these yearlings, getting them ready for a big sale such as this Keeneland September yearling sale. Barry Birkelhammer from Abracadabra Farm will join us right around 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Barry spends a lot of time with his bloodstock business picking out horses. We'll talk to him about that. We'll also talk to him about what goes into breaking these young horses once they leave the sale. They are sent to a farm to be broke and then, of course, put into training as two-year-olds to get ready for their racing careers. And then Cormac Brennick from Edina Springs will be here at 9:30 Eastern. And at the end of the show, our Road to the Breeders' Cup segment, which is presented by Gainsway. Jeff Bratt, the Woodbine television commentator, will be here to tell us about all the Win and You're In action north of the border coming up this weekend. So a lot of things to get to. We'll do it next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, celebrating 10 years of award-winning coverage.
Celebrating 10 years of Eclipse award-winning coverage. Thank you for making HRRN your home for a decade of memories.
Are you a believer?
But it will be Justin Phillip to win the Vanderbilt by two.
32 lifetime starts. 23 in Greatest Stakes.
And Justin Philip will do it. He was a monster in the mud.
12 times first or second in Greatest Stakes Company.
And Justin Philip will prove best in the Cal Fleet Sprint.
Justin Philip retired sound, having recorded 9 buyer speed figures of 100 or better and 3 times racking up rag sheet numbers of 2 1/4. Justin Phillips' first foals have arrived and are just like their daddy. Impressive, strong, and loaded with quality. Seeing is believing with Justin Phillip. Hashtag Justin Believers. Standing at Castleton Lions alongside multiple Eclipse champion Gio Ponti. Gio Ponti's first crop of yearlings averaged nearly $100,000 in 2014, and his first crop of racing age hit the track this year. Justin Phillip and Gio Ponti, standing at Castleton Lions. Visit CastletonLions.com.
Join us at Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races on Saturday, September 19th, as we host the 7th annual Race for the Ribbon. The 12 race card includes 6 stakes worth $700,000 and gets underway at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and is highlighted by the Grade 3 $350,000 Charlestown Oaks. For more information about the Race for the Ribbon coming up at Charlestown on Saturday, September 19th, check out our website at HollywoodCasinoCharlestown.com.
Where is the thoroughbred industry growing and thriving? In the Midwest and Southwest, and only American Racehorse magazine covers Middle America from top to bottom. Each issue contains news from Oklahoma, Indiana, Texas, Louisiana, Arkansas, and more, with features you won't find in any other publication. If you're a stallion owner or equine services provider looking for an affordable way to reach more than 6,000 readers, American Racehorse can help. Get a free sample issue at AmericanRacehorse.com. And time now to showcase the Cal Density Horse of the Week, which you can find at the upcoming Keeneland September Yearling Sale. This week's horse is hip number 346. Write it down, 346. A wonderful gray tappet colt. He's a full brother to the exciting 2-year-old Taxable and out of Jackpot Joni, half-sister to Kentucky Oaks winner Summerly. Consigned by Gainsway for Winchell Thoroughbred's Corinthian Farm, where he was allowed to run free, not stalled, a natural athlete to behold, and fed Cal Density Black Label daily. Veterinarian Dr. Perry Warnall at Harrison Vet Clinic in Cynthiana, Kentucky, is quoted as saying, "I have watched these horses grow up and seen the impressive growth into big, stout horses with strong bones. See for yourself the special qualities Cal Density fed horses offer, like clean radiographs, conformity, bone density, hoofs, and attitude. Visit us at barn number 2 and get the buyer's edge for this special horse. Write it down, hip number 346 at the Keeneland September Yearling Sale. Write it down."
This is Bruce Brown, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
They turn for home in the Pacific Classic, and it's Beholder. Gary Stevens just shakes the reins at her, and Beholder is opening up on them. Almost impossible to believe. She's turned this into an exercise gallop. Beholder is absolutely poetry in motion. Beholder and Gary Stevens didn't win it. They romped in the Pacific Classic. Catcher Flight second, then came Red Vine, Opportunity, Imperative behind that, then Hard Aces, Class Leader, Bailout Bobby, Bayern, and Midnight Storm was last.
Welcome back to the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, with you for the 13th consecutive year from the Keeneland Sales Pavilion, previewing the Keeneland September Yearling Sale. Again, it begins on Monday, 11 a.m., and the first of more than 4,000 horses cataloged to go under the gavel will step into that iconic auction ring, and it should be an electric atmosphere. The Breeders' Cup World Championships being held here. We are a short ways, just a short time away from the beginning of their fall race meet on October 2nd. So it's an exciting time to be a racing fan here in Lexington, Kentucky, and exciting time to have you with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Beholder winning the Pacific Classic. Trevor Denman with the call. She is a graduate of this Keeneland September Yearling Sale, and nobody knows that better than Tom Thornberry, the Associate Director of Sales, and he is back with us to kick things off again on the Equine Forum. Tommy, as always, happy to have you on board.
Mike, welcome back to the original home of the Horse Racing Radio Network, Keeneland.
You've been saying that now for more than a decade, because this is, I think, probably the 12th year that you've joined us here on the program. And Boy, it never gets old to hear that.
Well, it's fun. We go all the way back together since the origins, really.
Yeah.
And with Pete. And
yeah.
That was great fun.
Yeah.
Those were the days.
Yeah, those were the days. Pete Kulis, my mentor and late partner here on the network. And I can remember that. I was telling Jim that before we started the program today, that I was thinking back as I was getting ready for this show, and it was 2003 when I first started on radio. And at that time, we had one station here in Lexington. It was a small AM station, ESPN affiliate, and that was it. And we sat out here for 2 hours. I think when I started, the show was only an hour. And we sat out here at the Sales Pavilion. We did the show, and ever since then, we've been coming back every year, and it's been great.
Yeah, it's great to have you.
Great
to have you. And it's an exciting time this year. I think fall at Keeneland is always special, beginning with the September sale, but the October race meet tees everything up for the Breeders' Cup this year, and it's there's a buzz like we've never had around here ever before.
And the buzz has been building for months. It's not like the buzz is just happening now. Lexington has been looking forward to this event for, well, ever since the announcement was made.
Everyone, including farm owners and restaurateurs, hotel people, every possible venue is behind this thing now and embracing it and really getting excited about it and really want to really show the very best that we have to offer, because this is a grand opportunity for Central Kentucky.
Yeah, it will be electric. And again, the fall race meet beginning Friday, October 2nd, that is Fall Stars weekend. That weekend is going to be jam-packed with the top equine stars in our sport pointing for the Breeders' Cup on October 30th and 31st. But before we get to that point, we do have a 12-day September yearling sale that can't be overlooked.
Yeah, there's that.
Yeah, that too. And that begins, as I mentioned, on Monday, 11 a.m., a slightly new format to the sale this year,
just
Tom.
Just a minor change. Last year we had 4 days in book one. This year we only have three. And we condensed a little bit because it seemed to, like the fourth day was a little too much, and buyers wanted to get right on in and book two horses. And we thought, well, if we condense it a little bit, run the numbers up per day, drop the numbers of days back, it'll make it more exciting and more fluid. And so this year, 3 days to book one, sensational book one catalog. I haven't seen anything like it in a long time. And the quality of the stock that I saw out yesterday, of course, as we looked back in inspections, we were knocked out. But these things have grown on and matured, and there's some real beasts out here.
Well, you're going to have your work cut out for you to top what we saw here the past couple of seasons, because if you remember last year, there were, 13 horses that sold for $1 million or more. The year before, there were 18 horses that reached that mark. So, the bar is set pretty high.
It is, and we're not looking to leap over the bar so much as we are looking to stabilize this market, and I think we have in the last couple of years. And that's a really good thing for the industry overall.
What's the key to doing that, to stabilizing this market?
I think it's just a return to we got a rude awakening in 2008 with the economic crash, and of course this is a luxury business, and it became a strictly cash luxury business. The banks took a back seat and didn't want any part of it. And now people began to seek quality. We eliminated a lot of the poor stock in the system, and now you're the crux of the market here in Central Kentucky is excellent quality. So we're beginning to see a change in the whole structure economically and what people are breeding and what they're breeding for.
Yeah, it's amazing. I remember sitting here with you 5 or 6 years ago when the industry was going through a bit of a downturn and the sales were, people were struggling a little bit to get horses sold. And you told me this. You said, look, once we get past this stage, it's going to come out bigger and stronger and things are going to be even better on the other side. And you looked like a fortune teller because you're 100% right.
Well, I think it's a matter, again, of eliminating that which is not productive and retaining that which is of top quality.
Yeah.
And that's what buyers want. You see it in every market, regardless. In these times, they're looking for absolute quality. And that's what book one represents to me this time. And, of course, because you get quickly into book two, the quality of book two is incredible, too. A lot of grade one producers in there. For instance, in book one, there are 115 yearlings out of either grade one winners or grade one producers.
Wow.
And 14 of those yearlings are out of grade one winners that have either produced grade one winners or have produced two or more grade one winners. So it's incredible quality, and it's exciting. The physicals are there to match, too.
I may have stolen a bit of your thunder in my opening remarks when I started talking about the incredible sire power that is represented at this sale, and one of those sires, Frankel. And I know that that's something that you have to be very excited about, seeing his offspring go through the ring here.
Of course. Frankel, I think, is the sire of the moment in Europe, of course. And to have some Frankels in our sale is fantastic. But at the same time, there are yearlings by Nathaniel, yearlings by Pivotal, Galileo, Invincible Spirit, on and on. You know, it's just there are 249 different stallions represented in this entire catalog, and that's a huge number of horses. That's both American and European sires. You know, you mentioned Tappet, Warfront, Pioneer of the Nile, Unbridled Song, just to name a few, and then lots of freshman yearlings by sires like Bodemeister, The Factor, Union Rags, and this thing is just chock full. For any level, any buyer interest, it's all here.
Yeah, and I think that it's safe to say there's something for everybody, right? Because let's face it, not everybody is playing at that top end looking at a horse that's going to sell for $900,000 or $1 million. But you have something for the people playing at every single level of this game, which I think is tremendously important.
That's why there are six catalogs, 4,164 yearlings to choose from. Yeah, there's one for anybody and every pocketbook and any interest, be it short, long, dirt, turf, whatever. It's all here.
Well, I can remember last year going back after the sale and reading about that middle market or upper middle market, and that's kind of defined as horses that sold for $400,000 or higher, and that segment of the market was extremely strong here at Keeneland last year as well.
Well, I think you found what that middle market. I think everybody always says, what is the middle market and how healthy is the middle market? That's if you can't play at the absolute stratosphere and you get shut out, you move to the next book. And then at that point in time, there are other buyers that dismissed that stratosphere, and they come in at that book, too. So the competition is good all the way through, because you move along till you find what you need, and you pay what you can. And this catalog represents everything. It gives everybody the opportunity.
Visiting
to get good stock.
With Tom Thornberry, the Associate Director of Sales here at Keeneland. Tom, we mentioned some of the stallions that we're going to see represented with these yearlings that will go under the gavel, but I also touched on some of the big name horses that have come out of the sale, and we heard that rejoin clip of Beholder winning the Pacific Classic. She's kind of, I would say, maybe the darling of the recent graded stakes winners this year, because she has been so brilliant for much of her career and then seems to be on top of her game now. Carpe Diem, winner of the Toyota Bluegrass right here at Keeneland. You have Dame Dorothy, Carolina, Include Betty, Keen Ice, winner of the Travers, Secret Circle, Private Zone, Lady Eli, Materiality. I can keep going probably for the rest of the show.
Sure,
which
me
is
too.
Names of all. It's unbelievable, isn't it?
Well, it's fun. It's fun in that respect, and it's amazing. But really, this is the crop. When you talk about Keeneland September, 4,000 yearlings, this is everyone's best. This is the crop, and it's representative of every farm, every breeder, and folks from all around the country. Some of the New York bred yearlings are in here, Pennsylvania, California, Florida, they're all here, and it's because this is the market for the crop. It brings together the largest number of buyers from all around the world, domestically and internationally, and it mingles together. It's like a big community, like a big convention of sorts. And it's unique in that respect, and that's why eventually, of course, you dominate the stakes, and And to give you some numbers, I mean, this was an incredible summer. There are 119 graded or group stakes winners thus far from Keeneland graduates. And if you go to just Saratoga and Del Mar, 56 graded stakes winner, 56 graded stakes at Del Mar and Saratoga together. And Keeneland September grads won 32 of those. And another 47 were graded stakes placed, Keeneland sales grads. And to get specific, there were 8 grade one winners at Saratoga and 5 at Del Mar. So that's typical dominance, but we expect that with the numbers of horses that we put through here and the quality that's represented, because really Central Kentucky is the center of the American thoroughbred breeding industry.
We discussed the success that this sale has experienced in recent years and all of the lofty numbers that we saw over the past couple of years here with this Keeneland September yearling sale. Based on those last couple of September sales, what are the expectations then coming into the sale? You said earlier that you didn't want to try and jump over that high bar that has now been set. What are the true expectations for this sale?
Of course we'd like to jump over. I just don't want to clear it by a lot. You know, I'd like to maintain that stability. In fact, last year, 2014, we grossed $280 million. Our average was $100,000 all the way through the sale from front to back. The median was $50,000. Those are very healthy numbers. If we maintain that, if we push the needle forward a little bit, we'll be very happy. Like to see stability because really people are getting return on investment this way. There is profit to be made as a breeder for the first time in a number of years, and that's good stuff. The guys that have suffered through the bad years and done the right things, trim the herd, cull that which is not productive, and focus on the quality, they're due a little bit of return. And you want to see that happen. There are a lot of college tuitions to be paid and fences to be painted and barns to be repaired and that sort of thing. You need good commerce. And it's encouraging to have 2 years under our belt. I want to see another one just like it or maybe a little better.
Yeah, well said. Tom Thornberry, Associate Director of Sales here at Keeneland. As always, a very welcome guest to kick off this program each and every year. And like all of our guests who appear on the program, he will receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race. It is the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. You can embrace your passion at EmbraceTheRace.com. Tommy, I appreciate it, my friend, and all the best with the sale.
It's always a great pleasure to have you here, and I look forward to seeing you do the sale and during the race meet, too.
Yeah, let's do it again next year.
So well.
All right, good stuff.
Thanks,
Tom Thornberry.
Good meeting you. Nice meeting you.
Tom Thornberry here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. It is time for our Lexus Legends of the Turf, brought to you by the Lexus Store of Lexington. After that, we're back to visit with Kyle Klonizos, who is with Stone Farm, and he'll tell you all about their yearlings. And, by the way, he'll tell you about what he does with feeding them cal density. It's coming up next after your Lexus Legends of the Turf.
To be labeled a titan of the turf is neither to be taken lightly nor a term to be recklessly bandied about. By anybody's measure or means, the subject of this piece has to be unqualifiedly classified as indeed a true titan of the turf. His lifetime spanned the administrations of American Presidents Ulysses S. Grant through Lyndon Baines Johnson. And when he passed away in 1966 as a nonagenarian at the age of 92, a bright, sparkling light in the world of thoroughbred racing suddenly went dark. He was born in a small cottage in Brooklyn, New York, on July 23, 1874, on land, which later became part of the old Sheepshead Bay racetrack. At the age of 11, on the very day Grover Cleveland was inaugurated as president, he joined the racetrack colony as an errand boy for the Dwyer Brothers stable while sleeping in the loft. He became a jockey at the age of 16 and rode until 19-1 when he switched to training. His last mount was a horse called Agnes D, who finished dead last in a field of 5 in the title stakes at Sheepshead Bay. The scales of justice were to be balanced, as it were, since Agnes D was the very first winner he saddled as a trainer a few races later, and with that win came the inception of an absolutely phenomenal career. Between 1907, when tabulated records began, and the end of his 5-star career, he saddled 2,275 winners, including virtually every major stakes race east of the Mississippi. His inaugural stakes winner was Stargaze in the Merchants and Citizens Handicap in the Saratoga Cup. This guy only had a sixth-grade formal education, and he rode very poorly, but he trained thoroughbreds with unmatched success for the likes of Colonel E.V. D. Morrell, James F. Quincy Johnson, Ambassador Breckinridge Long, Senator Johnson Camden, William Woodward Sr. and Jr., Ogden Mills Phipps, Ogden Phipps, Edith Woodward Bancroft, Mrs. Whitney Sloan, dancer Vernon Castle, and a warden at the Sing Sing Prison, among many, many others. His horses, including Bold Ruler, Nashua, and Gallon Fox, won 470 stakes races. He often said his best distance horse had been Diabolo, and Johnstown his best sprinter. To this day, he's the only trainer with two Triple Crown winners to his credit, Gallon Fox and Omaha. Among other standouts he trained were Apache, Bassouette, Fighting Fox, Vagrancy, Bushanda, High Voltage, Misty Morn, Mary Lassie, and Happy Gal. The subject of this profile had another quite remarkable talent as well. He developed his own veterinary supplies for ailing horses, and he personally used them as well as prescribing them for others. Eddie Arcaro at one time had severe bursitis problems and very nearly quit riding as a result, but the man herein being profiled put Arcaro on a leg paint he had developed for horses. Now, Eddie may have had a horsey smell about him going postward, but it helped him put on many of those inimitable pumping, driving finishes going to the wire. Yes, indeed, he did have a way with riders. In the early 1900s, he took a young Hebrew rider under his tutelage whose name was Walter Miller. Miller had not ridden a single winner in 1907, his apprentice year, but in 1908 he won 388 races while under the tutorial guidance of our man. That 388 win record stood for 40 years. Hedley Woodhouse was the last to ride in the colors of our subject, red and orange. Woodhouse once apologized for giving one of his horses less than satisfactory a ride in a major stakes race, and our man replied, quote, "You couldn't have ridden him any worse than I would have." The man who went his way to meet the Grim Reaper in that great paddock in the sky at the nonagenarian age of 92 in 1966 won the Kentucky Derby 3 times, the Preakness 4 times, the Belmont 6 times, the Jockey Club Gold Cup 7 times, the Lawrence Realization, Wood Memorial, and Alabama Stakes 8 times, the Dwyer 9 times, and the Saratoga Cup a remarkable 10 times. He was the man who once said, quote, "When you're away from New York, you're camping out." The saga of this venerable monument to thoroughbred racing, worthy of a Homerian epic, and the stuff of which legends are crafted, was a legend in his own time. He was Sonny Jim Fitzsimmons, the man from Brooklyn.
And that is your Lexus Legends of the Turf for this morning, brought to you each and every Saturday by the Lexus Store of Lexington. Don't forget, if you are in the market for a new vehicle, a pre-owned vehicle, go see the folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington. They want to be the dealership of the equine industry here in Central Kentucky. They are horse people. They are actively involved in supporting the industry here in Central Kentucky and around the globe, as they are the sponsor of the Grade 2 Lexus Raven Run. We'll have that coverage for you coming up later on in this October race meet. Go see the Godfather, Tony Attiano, all the great folks at the Lexus Store of Lexington, and you tell them that the Baron sent you in and told you to say hello.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
When the Lexus LS was introduced, it changed the industry. Decades of world's first and countless awards later, it's considered by many to be the finest vehicle in the world. So how do you improve upon the impossible standard you've set? Piece by methodical piece, scrutinize every aspect of the driving experience in search of new ways to surprise and inspire those inside. I'm Mike Penna, and I will tell you firsthand that you can say the same things about the people at the Lexus Store of Lexington. The people truly do make the difference. From the Godfather Tony Attiano to their outstanding sales team, I promise that when you walk through their doors on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, you'll feel the same way. And if you're in the horse business, there's no reason to go anywhere else. The people at the Lexus Store are horse people. They're actively involved with supporting the industry, and they want to be the dealership of the equine industry. So stop in and see them and find out for yourself what it means to be a part of the pursuit of perfection at the Lexus Store of Lexington.
Declaration of War has taken it up and wins the clean.
Departing wins the Illinois Derby.
Walker Mann has gone clear in the Coventry.
Warfront has sired graded stakes winners on every surface.
Jack Milton will take the Makers 46 mile.
And grade one winners, both in the U.S. and abroad.
Lines of Battle wins the Derby.
Making a global impact, Warfront continues the legacy of his sire, Danzig. Warfront at Claiborne Farm.
When it's time to paint the fences and barns, think Farm Paint. At Farm Paint, you get the industry's best coatings and paints factory direct at low, low prices. Farm Paint is your source for quality paints, roof coatings, dustless arena footings, and more. You can purchase online or drop into a Farm Paint store near you with locations in Heart of Bluegrass Country at 700 Phillips Lane in Lexington, Kentucky, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, Columbus, Ohio, and Sandusky, Ohio. Buy factory direct and save at farmpaint.com. That's farmpaint.com.
Power.
And he's pulling away, and Frosted has won the Wood Memorial.
Passion.
Holding off Lee as they come down to the finish. Constitution of the Don.
Performance.
Ring Weekend and Drayton Van Dyke up to win the Kilro.
Gainsway Stallion Tappet has once again been sensational in 2015. The champion sire is North America's leading sire this year, represented by four 2015 Grade 1 winners. Wood Memorial winner Frosted, Ring Weekend, who scored in the Frank E. Kilroe Mile, Don Handicap winner Constitution, and Untappable winner of the Apple Blossom at Oaklawn. Overall, Tappet has sired 17 lifetime Grade 1 winners, 40 graded stakes winners, 11 millionaires, and 6 champions. Tappet is also ranked number 1 in the sales ring in both North America and Europe, with 2015 yearlings averaging more than 952,000. Tappet, standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
Hi, I'm Kayla Stratt, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Mike Penna back with you on the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, continuing to preview the Keeneland September yearling sale beginning this coming Monday, 11 a.m. right here in Lexington, Kentucky, and an extra buzz surrounding this year's sale because of the fact that the Breeders' Cup World Championships are being contested right here at Keeneland October 30th and 31st. We will be there as your exclusive radio home for the Breeders' Cup. The only place you'll hear the Breeders' Cup on radio, coast to coast and worldwide, is with us right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. All of that coverage presented by Cal Density. Jim Kriegel from Cal Density is here with me this morning, as well as is Kyle Klonizos with Stone Farm. And I think I started off, Kyle, by calling you Kyle Klonizos, and I want to apologize for that. It is Klonizos, and happy to have you with us this morning, my friend.
Yep, well, that's no problem. It's definitely not the worst pronunciation I've ever heard, so I think we're okay there.
Well, a total of 21 yearlings set to go through the auction ring from the consignment of Stone Farm. And six of those in book one, and it's an impressive list.
They're a very good group from top to bottom. These book one horses are just fantastic, and I think we're going to be really strong going through the entirety of the sale.
As we were in the commercial break, I was looking through some of those pedigrees with your book one contenders, and you look at hip number 162 by Lemon Drop Kid out of Chatham, hip number 501, a Smart Strike Colt out of Owsley. And then I asked you about the Tisnow filly, hip number 576, who is out of Rutherian. Tough to get better pedigrees than those.
Yeah, the Rutherian filly, what a fantastic female family that is. Maybe a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for breeders to get on a filly like that, and she's a big, strong Tisnow and has a great walk, very elegant, and I think she's just going to do fantastically for us.
How about the Lemon Drop Kid colt?
The Chatham colt, that mare, she's from one of those great Overbrook families, just fantastic breeding. Those guys just did fantastic for years. He's a stylish Lemon Drop Kid colt, and he's a half to maybe the best two-year-old in Europe right now, a colt named Air Force Blues, going for his second grade one tomorrow at the Cura. And, I mean, he's a really nice colt. Just after the first day of showing, we've already had a bunch of second looks, and, I mean, he's very nice and looks very speedy, so should be fun.
Yeah, and of course that Smart Strike colt out of Owsley, and you said to me during the commercial break, you said, yeah, maybe a future stallion here, maybe the next Curlin.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's just got the look. He's so well balanced. He has great bone, fantastic feet. He's got an awesome mind on him, and I mean, he might be the next Curlin, and it's fun just having great horses like that. And so, and that mare is just fantastic. She's done so well for the farm for us and produced runners left and right, so should be fun.
As the yearling manager at Stone Farm, you have the opportunity to see these horses from, well, pretty much from the time that they're born and then all
yes,
the
sir.
Way through. What's it like getting a horse ready for a major sale like this?
Well, it's stressful, first off, because there's a lot of work that goes into it. I mean, we start, you know, breeding them at the farm, and you see them from the first time they hit the ground, and the broodmare manager takes care of them till they get weaned, and then I take over on them, and then around January, February of their yearling year, we start to evaluate them and pick out which horses we might want to keep in race and which ones we want to go to the sale, and then come about middle of June, we start getting ready to prep and take them down to the training barn and put them through their steps, and hopefully we arrive here with no problems, no bumps in the road. There's usually a couple, but just stay positive and make sure the horses have lots of variety in their training and keep them happy and healthy, and you get here and you really see the cream rise to the top when they get up here. They come to the show and they know they're up here, and I mean,
Do they really?
Oh, absolutely.
Really?
And it's great to see the really good ones. They seem like the longer they're here at the sale, the better and better. They get stronger. Their walk gets longer. They get, I mean, it's just their coat shines better. And it's nice to see that out of the good ones.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, and I hear trainers say that all the time, that when a horse has that it factor, right,
yeah,
as I call it.
The presence, right?
Yeah. You can just kind of tell. Same thing with these young yearlings.
Oh, absolutely. You can really tell it when they're young, just how they play with the other horses in the field. You'll see those guys that they're not intimidated by anybody, and they want to be the ruler. They want to be out in the front when they're running across the field. And those are the ones, if you watch them through their whole career, most of them end up running very well.
Now, this is a very competitive sale because of the fact that you have the best pedigrees, you have the best confirmation in terms of what these horses look like. Mm-hmm. When you're showing horses like this, how do you know that you have the right yearlings here? What type of yearling does it take to compete at a sale like this?
Well, you have to have the pedigree, especially early in the sale here. And then when you go from there, you have to look at the physical attributes of the horse. You know, how does it move? Confirmation is definitely an issue. I'm more forgiving than most might be on confirmation, because I want to see how the horse moves. If the horse moves through any confirmation flaws and hits the ground nice and level, then those aren't the horses that worry to me. If you see a lot of movement when they're hitting the ground, then I think you need to worry a little more, because the stress that's going through those bones when they're hitting the ground running 40 miles an hour, you're going to have problems down the road with that. So
yeah. Yeah. I often feel that buyers can be sometimes too picky when they're looking at yearlings.
I think so too, especially as a seller.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you'll agree with that statement, because when you look at horses that go on and win major stakes races, mm-hmm. a lot of those horses were not the most perfect confirmation type of horses that you saw at the sale, right?
Yeah.
They may have had one little flaw here and there, and people tend to discard them far too quickly.
I think that's very true, and it's very hard to predict how these horses are going to do anyway. It's very hard for the buyers to sell to a client that this horse, if it has a very bad confirmation flaw, because a lot of these guys are spending a lot of money that isn't theirs. And so you really try to pick out a horse that minimizes the chances of any problems down the road, which leads to the fact that horses with confirmation flaws get passed over and then they end up running. And that it's one of the deals that goes with buying these horses here. So.
Kyle Klinizos is the stallion manager at
Yearling Manager. Sorry,
Yearling manager.
One of these boys will be standing with us before too long when they go win some Grade One. So,
see, I get your name right, then I mess up your title.
But that's all right.
At least I got the name right. Kyle Klinizos, the yearling manager at Stone Farm, with us here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. What is it about that Stone Farm philosophy that allows you to have so much success?
Well, I mean, our number one philosophy, these horses are raised like horses. They're not hot box. They're never in a stall. I mean, they're in a stall, but they are raised outside from 100 degrees in the summer to 20 below in the winter. And they're hardy, tough animals on fantastic ground that produces bone and, I mean, strong muscled horses. And they're raised the right way. And we don't do corrective surgeries and stuff like that. And they're as the gods intended them. And they, they do very well, and they're strong, and they're tough horses, and that's how they should be.
Yeah, people are going to hear you say that, and they go, what do you mean they're raised outside? They're kept. Isn't that how all horses are raised? But it's not the case, right?
But it's not the case always, and there's a lot of these thoroughbreds, they spend too much time in the stall, if you ask me, and they need that fresh air. I mean, the stall is a bad place for an animal, I think, because horses are roamers, they're grazers. They move around all day and eat, and it's not a natural environment for them to be in a stall, so we try to keep them out as often as possible. And looking at our track record, it's pretty good. Mr. Hancock's produced 3 Derby winners. Risen Star won the Belmont. Fusaichi Pegasus ended up being the highest-selling horse in history when he was sold for $60 million as a sire. Jeez. And I don't know, the only way to predict the future, I think, is to look at the past, and I think that's a good spot to look at is Stone Farm. So
is Arthur
don't
still
pass up any of these yearlings down here.
Yeah, is Arthur still playing the guitar from time to time?
Absolutely, all the time. Heck yeah.
It'd be great if he had it out here at the barn, right? That'd be kind of cool.
It would be very nice. So yeah. I know Arthur Jr., he was up playing, I think, book 6 last year when it got quiet. He was out playing the banjo. So.
And that's Barn 15. It is the Stone Farm consignment. You can go by and see Kyle and all the great folks. And Kyle, really appreciate you spending a little time with us here this morning, filling us in and educating us on what goes into prepping these yearlings for a big sale such as this Keeneland September yearling sale. Like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. We'll get that out to you, and all the best with this year's sale, my friend.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for having me on here. It was fantastic.
All right, Kyle Clinizos here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to get to a short break. We'll come back and tell you some big news about the Horse Racing Radio Network. Yeah, how about that? Broke it yesterday here on the program, broke it on our social media. It's coming up next on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. I'm back with Dr. Jim Chiappetta from Flair Equine Nasal Strips. Jim, why are we seeing more horsemen around the world using Flair strips?
Mike, I think more horsemen are realizing the simple fact that breathing easier is critical for horses' health and performance. When running, horses are bringing in about 10 bathtubs of air every minute through the narrowest part of the airway that collapses at speed. What the strips do is support the tissue in that region so it collapses less, so horses bring the air in more efficiently.
Breathe easy with Flair Strips. FlairStrips.com.
Have you been looking for high quality, consistent, and palatable hay, along with a company that offers personal service and attention? Well, your search is over. Washington Hay Company has been feeding your dream for more than 25 years with only the highest quality hay. Their 3-tie red, white, and blue string certifies their hay is grown in Washington State's Ellensburg Valley. And with delivery to Keeneland, Churchill Downs, and farms in central Kentucky, Washington Hay Company is feeding your dream. Call Brad Green at 859-588-5480.
There are millions of reasons to get involved in the fastest growing promotion in horse racing and the third richest thoroughbred event in the United States, the Daily Racing Form NTRA National Handicapping Championship. Whether it's online or on track, start playing today for $2.5 million in prize money and an Eclipse Award as Horse Player of the Year. Join the DRF NHC Tour today and start planning your trip to NHC in Las Vegas. Go to NHCTour.com for details.
Earn a lifetime breeding in Danza, a dominant Grade 1 winner and a leading 3-year-old of his generation. Half-brother to Grade 1 winner Majestic Harbor, Danza defeated top 3-year-olds such as Bayern, Strong Mandate, and Commissioner.
Danza, in a sparkling performance, is making short work of the Arkansas Derby field. Danza is the boss as he wins by 5.
To learn how easy it is to earn your lifetime breeding, contact Spendthrift Farm today.
The Breeders' Cup runs here.
What a memorable Breeders' Cup Classic. It's a race for the ages. Bayern, Toast of New York, California Chrome. Bayern, Toast of New York. Bayern has won it.
The Breeders' Cup, October 30th and 31st. Exclusively here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Presented by Cal Density. Go to horseracingradio.net for more information and to listen live.
Hi,
This is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, inviting you to join me for Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Beginning Wednesday, September 23rd, tune in for live racing action from around the country every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. It's the place to be on your drive home, through the final furlong of your workday, and for all fans of the sport of kings. It's Express Bet Radio on HRRN, starting Wednesday, September 23rd, on Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Larry Colmus, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Liam's Map turns for home in front in the Woodward and turns it on to a two-length lead. Coach Inge has rallied up the rail, and on the outside comes Bay of Plenty, but Liam's Map has opened up a three-length lead here. Coach Inge, Bay of Plenty, Wicked Strong, F and X, and on the far outside, Mylute, they're all running for minor shares behind Liam's Map, who rolls home in the Woodward. And then it was Coach Inge, Wicked Strong, and F and X.
Larry Colmus with the call of the Grade 1 Woodward, a race you heard right here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, and Liam's Map taking that field and making short work of that field in the Grade 1, and he was so impressive. We'll see him pointing for the Breeders' Cup World Championships and the Breeders' Cup Classic here at Keeneland October 31st. You're going to hear that coverage exclusively with us here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all presented by Cal Density. Barry Birkelhammer has had an awful lot of success in this business, and he has his own bloodstock agency. He has Abracadabra Farm, where he breaks a lot of the young horses that go under the gavel after they're sold here at Keeneland and at various yearling sales around the country. And he is with us now here on the Equine Forum, live from the Keeneland Sales Pavilion. Barry, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you for having me.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. And I mentioned all of that success. Our good friend Steve Castagnola is sitting over here to our left as well. And people will hear Stevie on the shows during the Keeneland meet. And he came walking over here through the TDN down at me during the commercial break. And he says, you see this horse right here? This horse was picked out by Steve Castagnola, and Barry Birkelhammer broke his maiden at odds of 33-1. Just another in the long line of success stories.
Yeah, he's a nice, nice horse that is a little late to come around, but he's going to have a big future in front of him.
Right? Yeah, and you're going to have some action over at Churchill Downs today as well, right?
Yep, actually have two in there in the Iroquois. We've got Unbridled Outlaw for the same ownership that Steve and I picked out, and Kenny McPeak has Maltese Fly, a tail of the cat colt that nice. I had at the farm, and both were probably top picks at the farm, so that'll be a great exacta.
What are you looking for when you come to a sale like this? What's the key to finding the right yearling?
You know, I think that you're looking for potential, obviously. I think, you know, picking athletes is fairly easy to do. It's kind of what you do with them after you got them, and how to prepare them and take care of them and kind of develop them into something. I don't always have the spending power that, you know, some of these guys have, so I'm looking for athletic potential, not necessarily by the flavor of the month stallion that I think is been well raised, isn't overdone. I don't like to buy the show horse, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
I like to buy what I think is a well balanced athlete that's been well raised and hasn't been abused in any way, and that we can take home and make a racehorse out of.
Yeah, exactly. I was just talking with Kyle Klinizos in the last segment from Stone Farm, and I brought that same thing up to him. I said, you know, I think sometimes buyers, and correct me if I'm wrong, tend to dismiss these horses too quickly if there is a slight flaw, because of the fact that if you go and look at, you know, Grade 1, Grade 2 winners, they weren't always the perfect horse at the sale, but they've gone on to be pretty darn good racehorses. You agree with that?
Absolutely. I mean, the reality is there isn't any horse that you look at that you wouldn't change something about. You know, it's kind of like you're looking at a painting. They've all got something you would change.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen one that you would just say was the perfect horse. So it's a matter of degrees of what you think will impede their ability to stay sound or impede their ability to, you know, be able to reach their full athletic potential. And then it's just within degrees of what you can live with.
Yeah. And then after you purchase the horse here, you'll often take them home, Abracadabra mm-hmm. Farm, and you'll break the horses there at Abracadabra. Tell me about your program.
You know, I'm in a fortunate position. I mean, you know, we were raised, you know, pinhooking horses and selling at the two-year-old sales where you're definitely under a lot of pressure to meet a particular date. And thank goodness that's evolved a little bit to where the sales are a little later and you have multiple options. But, you know, when you're developing racehorses for people, it's nice in that you can adjust for the individuals that, you know, if somebody's not got the right attitude or isn't happy or, you know, isn't feeling great that day, you know, you can alter the program and give them a chance to get back in the feed tub and get to feeling good. And, you know, we try to break, you know, a horse that's got a good mind and is comfortable switching their leads and comfortable walking through the gate. And then it's a matter of legging them up and building some foundation and getting good bone. And then obviously when you start breezing and, you know, as we get into the first of the year and you start letting them push on the gas pedal a little bit, that's, you know, it's kind of like Christmas. You get to figure out which ones seem to have it or not.
How long does it take you to figure that out?
You know, the really, really good ones, you can kind of tell very early.
Yeah.
I mean, Ashado, she was in the round pen being broke, and we were all just like in amazement. Some of them you just from day one, doesn't mean they always come to fruition. You know, you think that they're that good, and then they go the other way. You know, I would tell you the horses that are really special, we kind of know it pretty early, and for the most part, they don't disappoint. The ones that are really bad, you kind of know those too. It's all the ones that fall in the middle.
Yeah.
That can kind of go either way. I mean, let's face it, you know, the difference between a 1X and a stake horse is a pretty small margin.
Sure.
You know, a lot of it is internal fortitude and courage and guts. And as far as talent, it's a small margin. So, you know, some of those horses, you know, develop, get better with time. Some horses that seem like they're fast start to get to a certain distance, and then they just can't do it anymore. So those horses that fall in the middle that can kind of go either way, but the really good ones, they kind of tell you pretty early.
Talking with Barry Birkelhammer from Birkelhammer Bloodstock and, of course, Abracadabra Farm down in Florida, as I just mentioned. And Barry, you mentioned the name Ashado, and that's a name that is going to ring true for so many people in the thoroughbred business because she was so spectacular, and she is among your top success stories with your program, but she's not the only one.
No, she, you know, obviously she's one that's sort of special in our hearts.
Yeah.
The first one to get in the Hall of Fame. And so, you know, she'll certainly be one that we'll always hang our hat on. But
what was that day like for you when she got into the Hall of Fame?
You know, it was really special. It was very nice to see her kind of get enshrined, and she was always real special to us. So to see everybody, you know, kind of recognize it was very, very special.
Yeah.
Tell me about
some of the other big name horses that come through the program.
You know, we've had a lot of good horses over the years. It's a blast when you see, you know, like we've got now, we've got Braidster that's getting ready to go to the Breeders' Cup for Joe Sutton, and he had Warbling earlier on that I bought for him. So
my man Eddie Keneally.
Yep. Yep, and Eddie and I have had a lot of success together for him, and you know, it's so nice to see owners just relish in what they're getting, just like you know, we talked about Brody's Cause and Unbridled Outlaw for the Albraugh family. They're kind of new at this level, and so it's neat. You know, when you've been there, you know, a lot of years, and, you know, good horses are fun, but you've kind of been there. When you're able to do it and watch other people just get the thrill, it's very cool.
Yeah. Where is the yearling market now? Where we stand as an industry?
I mean, I think there's a lot of demand for the horse that is perceived to be at the upper level. There's a lot of demand for it, whether it be pedigree or physical. There's a lot of demand for horses that they believe will compete on the grand stage. When you get now the disparity between that and the middle market, there's a big drop. So I think the high end is certainly strong. I think the prices are going to be strong, and it's going to be tough to buy. But I think as you get into the horses that are perceived to be not at that level, are the prices are going
right.
to take a beat.
Yeah. Are we in a good place as an industry right now with the way that the yearling market is shaping up?
Well, obviously, you know, the players with the money to afford these high-end horses, we're in great shape.
Yeah.
I think as an industry, the reason that our middle and lower market horses don't seem to have a demand is I think we've diluted our product, to be honest. We just have too much racing going on in too many places. I know a lot of people wouldn't want to hear that, but...
Well, you won't get an argument from me. I think you're absolutely spot on.
Yeah. And I think that if we could learn to emulate what happens at Saratoga, what happens at Keeneland in the fall and in the spring, Del Mar, you know, if we could learn to emulate that, I think you could have some smaller circuits that had big festival days, you know, whether they were 30-day mini meets or, and I think that we could change horse racing as we see it at that B and C level. If we could learn to do that.
Yeah, quality over quantity. You're not going to get the same quality of, say, a Saratoga or a Keeneland at a mid-major track, so to speak, but you can put it together as a festival day, and people will turn out for good racing. We see it all the time with these boutique meets and Super Saturdays when they put those together with multiple graded stakes. I agree with you 100%. I think that's the way to go to grow the sport.
I think we've just diluted it to a point that people have too many options and they don't really care. You know, you know, Saratoga, for instance, I mean, I know the quality is great, but most of those people that are going there, they don't know the difference between that quality and
right.
and you go and they're just stacked online and bringing their coolers and the kids are excited and you're like, where are these people the rest of the year?
Yeah.
They're waiting for this festival to come so they can come hang out and tailgate.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what they're doing.
It's an event.
Sure.
Yeah.
Why can't we do the same thing at Delaware Park or Penn National or Monmouth or... And if we could organize, again, you know, it's all run as, you know, separate entities. But if we could, you know, it'd be another good reason to have a national coalition to where we could organize how circuits were run. And they could be mini meets that moved from these locales. We could get the same festival feel at a small family venue.
Sure.
And I don't think the people would really care whether they were watching $20,000 claimers or, I mean, everybody loves the Breeders' Cup and the big grade one
sure.
Saturday afternoon, but go to Saratoga on a Wednesday, they're running cheap claimers too.
Yeah.
And people are out there watching them. So I think people just love the pageantry of the horse. And if we could market that better and stop trying to market it like an investment, it's not an investment. It's a sport, and if we could get more to that, I think that the middle and the lower market would be demand.
Folks, if you're looking for a commissioner for thoroughbred racing, we may have just found him right here, Barry Birkelhammer here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And Barry, I couldn't agree with you more. I think that that's a great approach that some of those tracks that are struggling could take to get people there and to generate interest in their specific areas and at their specific track, at least on certain days throughout their meet. I think it would go a long way toward growing the sport.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think we're just missing the boat in that department. And other, I mean, look what golf has done, you know, and I find myself watching it, but at the end of the day, you're watching somebody tap a little ball in a hole and yet people and sponsorships and, you know, what about yacht racing? And, you know, we try to, I think we just oversell it as an investment and whether or not you can make return and whether or not you can make it pay. You know, there's lots of other, even equine disciplines. They don't do it as an investment.
Right.
They do it to win a trophy. They do it for the pageantry. There's yacht racing. There's, well, even what about in the infancy of NASCAR? They weren't doing it for what they were going to. They were doing it because they wanted to race cars around the racetrack.
Yeah.
And yet you go, and it's a festival day of people just enjoying being together and watching the cars go round and round. we've got a wonderful creature that people love to watch and are amazed by, and children are gravitate to. And if we could learn how to bring that to the forefront, we could make a comeback.
Yeah. Barry Birkelhammer here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Barry, I know you've got horses to look at. Stevie C is going to help you out with that. And I want to wish you all the best at this year's sale. Thank you for all your support of what we do here on the network. You were part of all of our coverage we did throughout the Saratoga meet. Our Saturdays at Saratoga coverage attracted listeners in more than 60 countries, and all part of that, all because of the sponsorship that you're able to provide and so many of our other sponsors. So I appreciate that, and keep it rolling here, my
friend.
Thank
you. Well, thank you for having me, and I always enjoy every Saturday morning up by the truck, I'm out there listening.
Well said. Barry Birkelhammer here on HRRN. Of course, you can learn more by going to abracadabrafarm.com, and you can pull up all the information on the Bloodstock Agency and, of course, on breaking those yearlings at Abracadabra Farm. We're going to pause for another commercial break. We will come back, and we will get you set for a busy second hour of the program. Going to visit again with Jim Krigall from Cal Density, and we'll tell you about their involvement and what's going on with their outstanding products here as well. We're back with hour number two right after we pause. 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The next big thing in horse racing radio is coming to HRRN, September 23rd. Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Get ready.
Milridge, raising and selling racehorses. Since 2000, Milridge has raised or sold 7 Breeders' Cup winners and 5 Horse of the Years, as well as Kentucky Derby winner Giacomo. Milridge will be offering 35 yearlings at the Keeneland September sale, with 7 of those in Book 1 by 6 different stallions. Included in this year's group is the half-brother to Horse of the Year Harve de Grace by Medaglia d'Oro. Also, the first foal by a Fleeting Lady, the Grade 2 winning daughter of Broodmare of the Year Otzi, and he is also by Medaglia d'Oro. All of the Milridge yearlings in Book 1 were foaled or raised at Milridge. Milridge, raising and selling racehorses.
I'm speaking with Joe Brown Nicholson of Nicholson Insurance Agency. Joe, what's going on in the insurance world?
Mike, one of the best policies we sell is a homeowner's policy. It provides property coverage for the home and contents, and also personal legal liability protection against bodily injury or property damage caused by the insured. The homeowner's policy, however, is not a business policy and should not be relied upon for business activities.
Do some people think there is business coverage in the homeowner's policy?
Yes. Some horse owners, for example, think there is liability protection on their homeowner's policy against bodily injury or property damage caused by their racing or breeding stock. The horse owner should actually carry a separate equine owner's liability policy to protect against horse ownership exposures.
Thanks for clearing that up, Joe. For your equine, farm, personal, and business insurance, call Joe Brown Nicholson at Nicholson Insurance Agency, 859-224-7080, or visit nicholsoninsurance.com. You gotta know Joe.
For nearly 3 decades, the Adena Springs Breeding Program has achieved unparalleled success. With a record 8 Eclipse Awards as Outstanding Breeder and co-record 9 Sovereign Awards as Outstanding Breeder in Canada, that success has also been evident in their sales consignments, as Adena Springs sales graduates include Breeders' Cup and Eclipse champion Judy the Beauty and 8-time Grade 1 winner Game On Dude, as well as Private Zone.
Private Zone wins the Fargo.
Holy Boss.
Holy Boss and Ricardo Santana Jr. will win the Amsterdam by 2.
Gangster.
Gangster stole this one. He won it by 5.
And Kozan.
Kozan. Another outstanding performance.
Adena Springs has cataloged 15 yearlings to the 2015 Keeneland September sale by sires including Awesome Again, Ghost Sapper, Macho Uno, Hard Spun, Malibu Moon, and others. Adena Springs, classic bloodlines, classic performance.
This is Christophe Clément. You are listening to the Horse Racing Video Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
The 37-year wait is over. American Foal is finally the one. American Foal has won the Triple Crown.
By a
Bayern, Toast of New York, California Chrome, Bayern, Toast of New York, Bayern has won it!
Chicago's about to erupt! The Illinois Bird, the Pizza Man just won the Arlington Million under Marlon Giroux!
As they come down to the 16th pole, it is Texas Red in front, Frosted runs at him, Texas Red, Frosted, a dramatic Jim Dandy, and Texas Red has won it!
Now, here's Mike Pena.
Welcome back. Hour number two of the Equine Forum here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Pena, Baron of the Backstretch, once again coming to you from the Keeneland Sales Pavilion here in Lexington, where we get set for the 72nd Keeneland September Yearling Sale. And it kicks off on Monday, 11 a.m. More than 4,000 horses cataloged to go through that auction ring. And the first horse stepping in there 11 a.m. on Monday should be an amazing event. A little extra buzz surrounding the meet or surrounding the sale this year because of that meet, which is coming up on October 2nd, and not just any race meet here in the fall. Typically, that's a meet where the Breeders' Cup horses make an appearance because they're prepping in their final race before the Breeders' Cup. But this year, the Breeders' Cup being held right here at Keeneland, October 30th and 31st. Of course, we're going to be there throughout the Keeneland meet with all of that exclusive coverage of the Keeneland races and then exclusive coverage of the Breeders' Cup World Championships here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. And you can tune into that coverage October 30th and 31st, all presented by Cal Density. Jim Kriegel is with me from Cal Density as well. He's the owner and CEO of that great product. We're going to tell you more about the product here in this next segment, but do want to take a second to remind you about what's happening north of the border tomorrow. And that's on Sunday, of course. Watch and wager on the $1 million Rico Woodbine Mile live from Woodbine, featuring a star-stacked international field and an impressive wagering menu with bets as low as 20 cents on all Triactor, Superfecta, Pick 3, and Guaranteed Pick 4 pools, plus the all-new Thoroughbred Pick 5 and Jackpot High 5 wagers. The Rico Woodbine Mile tomorrow, live from Woodbine Racetrack. You can visit WoodbineMile.com or follow them at Woodbine Racing on Twitter to learn more. And the hashtag for tomorrow will be hashtag WOMile. Fun first half of the program. Tom Thornberry, Kyle Clinizos, and Barry Berkelhammer all joining us in that first half of the show. If you missed any portion, go back to our website, horseracingradio.net. A podcast of this program and all of our shows is available, horseracingradio.net. And broke some big news yesterday on our Express Bet Weekend Stakes preview show and on our social media page that coming to HRN on September 23rd, that's a Wednesday, is the next big thing in horse racing radio. It is Express Bet Radio here on HRN, and it is going to be pretty cool. Every Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, beginning September 23rd, from 3 to 6 Eastern, we will bring you live coverage of racing from around the country, various racetracks featured, interviews with trainers, owners, jockeys. It's going to be a full 3-hour show, Wednesday, Thursday, Fridays, beginning September 23rd, 3 to 6 Eastern, on Sirius 220, XM channel 206. You'll be able to listen anywhere throughout North America, Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming worldwide on our website, horseracingradio.net. It is Express Bet Radio on HRRN coming September 23rd. So, Jim Kriegel, an awful lot of things happening here on HRN, getting ready for the Breeders' Cup World Championships as well, October 30th and 31st. Mentioned at the top of the show that all of that coverage presented by Cal Density. Can't thank you enough for that support, and I know you have worked diligently to position Cal Density where you are today and as a premier supplement for the sport of thoroughbred racing, and congratulations on doing that.
Well, thank you very much, Mike. I appreciate that comment.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed your last two guests. Like I say, we're like sponges. We just absorb everything that we can and regarding this sport and these people that are involved in it. But Cal Density is very proud to be your sponsor for this Breeders' Cup. I think it's fortunate that we are. We've gotten some really good response, especially with our Horse of the Week programs that we're doing. And I'll tell you a little bit about the results that we see from the analytics portion of it that we track.
Yeah.
It's just amazing, really. But Cal Density is a supplement. It's not your typical supplement. We do stand out differently. We manufacture as a feed manufacturer, and we're licensed in most states as a feed manufacturer. Mm-hmm. That's the first step you have to become. And then you have to register your product with each individual state where you sell your product.
Okay.
And we're regulated by AFCO, which is the Association of American Feed Control Officials, and the FDA, and University of Kentucky, who oversees these programs. And all of our ingredients, we have 17 ingredients in cow density, and each one of those are pre-approved by AFCO as an ingredient. And the FDA approves those ingredients and the levels at which they can be added.
Okay.
And the University of Kentucky will come in and they'll take a sample of our products and take it back to their laboratory and ensure that what we say on our label is correct, that the calcium level is what we say it is, the vitamins and
sure.
what have you. And we also do a third-party analysis. Nestle Purina does an analysis on each lot that we manufacture and verifies before we even put it on the floor for packaging that the ingredients are what they say they are.
Yep.
So our customers have a confidence in what we sell, that we're selling what we say you're selling.
Yeah, and I think that's important. You and I talked about this before we started the program this morning, that it's a lot like supplements for human athletes, where there's always that element of doubt, I think, in the consumer's mind when they start taking a supplement until they use it and they see that it actually works. You start looking at the ingredients that are in that product and you say, is this really what's in there, right? And there's no way to know, but there is with cow density, because you know, you're talking about these different national organizations and University of Kentucky and all the tests that are done to make sure that this product is what you say this product is.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And it makes a big difference.
And they can request that. We call it a certificate of analysis, and we're glad to provide that with any shipment that we sell. But each one of these ingredients that we include in these, especially our black label, which is an all-in-one product, it'll do, that's for hoofs, coat, conditioning, conformity, especially bone density, that's where yeah. I really are. And the calcium, organic calciums that we have in the product.
One scoop and done. I remember when we started running the commercials on the program, that was the slogan, right? One scoop and done. Yeah.
And each one of these ingredients has a function, special
yeah.
function, and either on standalone or in combination of, they do perform a specific function, and it's been proven over the years. And we have some beautiful horses here today that have been on cow density since they were babies.
Yeah.
I mean, their mothers were fed cow density.
Wow.
So we're really excited about that. And I was talking to Kyle. He says, you could track the horses that we have sold 2 years ago that may have been on our product.
Wow.
So we're really interested in
the... What are some of the main benefits of feeding cow density?
The biggest benefit is the bone density. The ingredients that we have in our product have been studied at Texas A&M, for instance, and have proven that bone density is increased by 14%.
Ooh.
And that's really critical when you get down to starting to train and race horses. You'll see that our horses have more starts. And if their horses aren't starting, you're not making any money.
Right.
It's pretty expensive just to have them standing around getting better. But
yeah.
And we've also talked to our veterinarians who recommend our product for healing purposes. After a surgical procedure, cow density will put them back in training or onto the track 30, 45 days faster than if not fed cow density.
Sure.
So the veterinarians are really happy with that aspect of it. But you don't have to be injured. The cow density should be fed on an ongoing basis.
Right, right. Well, and I'm going to assume that, and I don't even know, you probably can't even say this because there's no way to really tell, but if you're increasing bone density, you mentioned 14%, but if you're increasing bone density, that has to help prevent injuries in a lot of ways too, doesn't
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely. Strong bones is a secret to that.
Sure.
But we're really limited to what we can say in advertising and on this program because of the FDA's regulations as to what we can say. So you'll see in a lot of our advertising and statements where it says it may help.
Yeah.
That's the buzzword that we have to use because we cannot make any.
Even though you know it does because you get reports from horsemen that say that it does, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. We rely everything on what we hear from the owners and the trainers.
Well, here's the best way that people can kind of get a sense of what Cal Density is all about. They can go to caldensity.com to read all the information about the product is there. So you can go to caldensity.com. They can call you directly right through the number on the website, and you can fill them in on the details. But the best way to find out what Cal Density is all about is to try it, just to give it a shot and see the results for yourself, right?
Absolutely.
And then people can kind of take it from there. But that's, to me, that's the easiest way that people can realize what this product, how good it really is.
Yes, absolutely. Our best way of getting the word around, our word across, is word of mouth.
That's
much way that these traders that are satisfied with it or the owners, they'll tell somebody.
Yeah.
And that's the best way we get our message across. So we cannot say diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent, or medicate. Medicate. Those are words that we cannot say anywhere.
Right.
Even in testimonies from customers, we have to be very careful what they say.
Right.
Because we're liable for their statement.
Right,
sure. You would think free speech would interfere, but no, FDA's won court cases over testimonies where it's been implied that you're doing these things.
Well, again, we'll encourage people just to go to the website, caldensity.com, order the product, give it a shot for yourself. Right? You have nothing to lose. Just go ahead and try it and see what you think. And we can tell you from so many other horsemen that have used the product that it certainly works, and I think you'll enjoy it. But go to caldensity.com, give it a try, and if you have any questions, you can call Jim directly. And I know you're always happy to talk with horsemen and fill them in on any details, help them with questions about using the product. Is there a specific proper way to use Cal Density?
Every day. That's the it's critical that they feed every day because it's small amounts of calcium that is the secret.
Yep.
You can't overload them with calcium or some of these other minerals because they just discard it. But if you feed them every day, low levels of these calcium or these organic minerals that we have, they absorb them all. They all go to the right place, and they're not wasted.
Right.
But it's a secret of feeding them the 3 ounces a day or one scoop comes in the bucket.
And
it's very easy to just take out a whole scoop, put it in the top feed dress, and away they go.
All right. Well, there you go. There you have it. And an easy way to do it. Again, just give it a shot. Try it, and I don't think you'll be disappointed with the product in any way. And again, caldensity.com is the place to find those. Cormac Brennick is coming up with us here in just a couple of moments. He is in the on-deck circle. Our Blood Horse News update coming up after this next commercial break as well. But do want to tell you about our friends at Lane's End, because they do a tremendous job over at Lane's End. And as a 13-time leading stud farm, Lane's End has a proven track record of turning young stallions into leading sires, like The Factor, for example, the top freshman sire by yearling average. That's 15 times his stud fee. Think about that. Or Union Rags, a grade one winning 2-year-old and classic winning 3-year-old who became the leading freshman sire by weanling average in 2014 and whose first yearlings realized up to $460,000. And then there's Twirling Candy, 2015's leading freshman sire by winners and 2-year-old average, and Quality Road. Yeah, you remember him? The leading first crop sire by earnings and graded stakes winners in 2014. So when it comes down to it, Lane's End stallions are made for success. To learn more about breeding opportunities, you can just visit lanesend.com. And again, they do a phenomenal job over there at Lane's End. We're going to get to a quick commercial break. We'll come back with your Blood Horse News update and a visit with Cormac Brennick from Edina Springs. You talk about somebody who does a tremendous job. We're going to tell you all about it next. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, celebrating 10 years of award-winning coverage.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Airdrie Stud's Majestic Perfection continues to be one of the hottest young stallions in America. His first crop three-year-olds include Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks and Ashland Stakes winner Lovely Maria, Graded Stakes winner Hebronville, and the lightning-fast multiple stakes winner Majestic Affair. The number one sire in his crop by 2015 Graded Stakes winners, Stakes winners to starters, and average earnings per starter, Majestic Perfection also offers a higher return on investment in the yearling ring than any other stallion in his crop. Airdrie Studs, Majestic Perfection. Think about it.
And they're off in New York. The premier state bred program in the United States. When you own a New York bred, your horse can run for more than $44 million in purses restricted to registered New York breds. And the New York program pays awards to breeders, owners, and stallion owners when their New York breds finish first, second, or third at New York tracks. We have the quality.
Day at the spa, all the way.
You have the opportunity. New York breds, get with the program. The best program.
Ramsey Farms Real Solution.
As they come down to the line, Real Solution is the winner.
A two-time Grade 1 winning millionaire, Real Solution joins his sire, top stallion Kitten's Joy, at Ramsey Farm.
Real Solution, the Apache, in a battle that's come down to a bob.
Real Solution won both the Manhattan and Arlington Million, an earner of $1.3 million and a son of leading sire Kitten's Joy. Real Solution, standing for $12,500 at Ramsey Farm.
Millridge, raising and selling racehorses. Since 2000, Millridge has raised or sold 7 Breeders' Cup winners and 5 Horse of the Years, as well as Kentucky Derby winner Giacomo. Millridge will be offering 35 yearlings at the Keeneland September sale, with 7 of those in Book 1 by 6 different stallions. Included in this year's group is the half-brother to Horse of the Year Harve de Grace by Medaglia d'Oro. Also, the first foal by a fleeting lady, the Grade 2 winning daughter of Broodmare of the Year, Otsi, and he is also by Medaglia d'Oro. All of the Millridge yearlings in Book 1 were foaled or raised at Millridge. Millridge, raising and selling racehorses. It's time now to shine the spotlight on the Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week.
Rachel's Valentina Rossiter and takes the lead. Tap to it on the outside, but they're coming down to the line. Rachel's Valentina is the Princess of the Spa. She beats Tap to it in the spinaway.
Rachel's Valentina continued to live up to her lofty expectations with an impressive victory in the Grade 1 spinaway last Saturday at Saratoga. The daughter of Darley stallion Bernardini and second foal out of Medaglia d'Oro's Horse of the Year daughter, Rachel Alexandra, is now a perfect 2-for-2 to begin her highly anticipated career. And her victory in the Grade 1 spinaway makes her your Darley Taking the Reins Performer of the Week. Darley stallion Bernardini has produced 12 career Grade 1 winners, including a Travers winner in each of his first two crops. Rachel's Valentina became his third Grade 1 winner in 2015. Only Tappet and Warfront have more. To learn more about Bernardini and all the Darley stallions, visit DarleyAmerica.com.
This is Carlos Martin, and you're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Private Zone has run a 45 flat half mile and has opened up 2.5 lengths. And the Big Beast is second. Then Wildcat Red to the inside, and they're into the stretch, and it's Private Zone. Private Zone under a hand ride here. A 3-length lead. Wildcat Red is up into second now. The Big Beast is there on the outside. Viva Mallorca's made up late ground, and then it's Salutos Amigos. But it is Private Zone. Private Zone's got the lead close to home, and he's all by himself. Private Zone wins the Forgo. And then it was the Big Beast in a photo of Viva Mallorca, followed by Wildcat Red and Salutos Amigos.
Larry Colmus with the call of the Grade 1 Forgo at Saratoga earlier this year. Private Zone getting the victory that afternoon. He is a graduate of the Edina Springs sales consignment, and we're going to visit with Cormac Brennick from Edina Springs coming up in just a moment as we broadcast live from the Keeneland September Yearling Sale. The Keeneland Sales Pavilion is our venue for this morning's show, and happy to have you back with us here on HRRN. Time now for your Blood Horse News Update and a quick look at the headlines from BloodHorse.com. Ramsey's National Owner Breeder for 2014. Ken and Sarah Ramsey were named National Owner of the Year and National Breeder of the Year last night during the Thoroughbred Owners and Breeders Association National Awards Dinner held at John Sakura's Hillendale Farms near Lexington. The Ramseys of Ramsey Farm near Nicholasville were honored with two other awards during the evening. They were also named the Southern Region Owner of the Year and are the owners of St. Borealis, who was announced as claiming Crown Horse of the Year, a new award that was presented by the National Horsemen's Benevolent and Protective Association. And Kentucky Downs postpones its September 12th races. Kentucky Downs has postponed the races for this afternoon because of a rain-softened turf course and will move each race to September 14th, according to track president Corey Johnson. He said, "We got a half inch of rain today, and we made the decision that the course was too soft, and we wanted to make sure the card went off. The forecast looks good for Sunday and Monday, and our maintenance crew is confident they can get the course ready." And that is your Blood Horse News update for this morning. For more industry news and headlines, just head on over to bloodhorse.com. Well, for nearly three decades, Adina Springs and their breeding program has achieved success that is somewhat unparalleled in our sport. They have recorded a record 8 Eclipse Awards as Outstanding Breeder and a co-record 9 Sovereign Awards as Outstanding Breeder in Canada. And Cormac Brennick has been a big part of that success, and he is with us now here on the Equine Forum on HRN. Cormac, first of all, congratulations on all the success, and welcome to the program.
Thanks, Mike. Good to be here.
Yeah, happy to have you on board. And, boy, you think about that, 8 Eclipse Awards, 9 Sovereign Awards, that arrow still pointing up for Adina Springs.
It is, and, you know, it comes down to Frank and the amount of investment that he has put into the industry. You know, he's really done so much for the industry at large and built an enormous operation that's been very successful. He does it following the same values he began with, and I'm sure he takes a lot of pride in all those awards.
Yeah, we heard the race clip of Private Zone winning the Forgo. That brought a smile to your face as we were listening to Larry Colmus. That was a race we broadcast on the network, and he could not have been more impressive. And, of course, he's a graduate of the Adina program.
He is. He was bred by Frank, by Adina Springs. We sold him here, actually, at Keeneland in 2010 for just $15,000 in probably,
wow.
I think it was book 4.
Wow.
To Panama. That horse has an amazing story. You know, he was a nice yearling. He's the son of Macho Uno. He was sold, like I said, to Panama. He went down there. He became a kind of an amazing racehorse in his own right down there. He was a Grade 1 winner, but he was very, very quirky. There was a video of him where he almost stopped in the middle of a race. He just screeched to a halt and all the other runners ran by him, and then he just picked up the bit again, circled the field and won. And so it was one of the most bizarre things you've ever seen. Well, Rene Douglas, the former jockey from Panama, heard about the horse, went down there, bought the horse, brought him up and gave him to Doug O'Neill initially, and put together a good friend stable. And they've had just more fun than you can imagine since then. He's won 4 Grade 1s since he got to the U.S., and he's the leading sprinter miler in the country right now.
Yeah, all he does is win, and he shows up every single time. He's unbelievable.
He really is, and, you know, hopefully it'll be interesting to see what they do in the Breeders' Cup this year. I mean, hopefully he'll get there in good shape. And
sprint or dirt mile?
I don't know. I mean, it's going to be a tough decision for them. I think the dirt mile is intriguing because he gets a mile really well. Of course, it's a 2-turn race here at Keeneland.
Yep.
I don't think he's done 2 turns before. He's obviously a very good 1-turn miler. He's been in the Breeders' Cup sprint before. He was 3rd last year. He kind of disappointed the previous time. I don't know. Maybe they'll try something a little different and go on the dirt mile, or, you know, he'll be one of the favorites in whichever race he shows up
in. Yeah. It was a great Saratoga for Adina Springs because you also had Holy Boss, who was so impressive in winning the Amsterdam, another horse that is a graduate of your sales consignments.
Yeah, another horse we sold here at Keeneland. Sold him to Steve Asmussen, to KDE Equine. He's owned now by Jerry Durant. And he's a wonderful horse. He's a beautiful, big, strapping son of Street Boss. He's out of a very nice mare that we still have, a mare called Holy Grace. It's a really strong family. So he's bred top and bottom, and he's got the physical. He's proven himself a really good horse. He broke his maiden during this sale last year as a 2-year-old at Churchill by 10 lengths. And I think that was his debut, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And so that really served notice of what he could do. They've discovered, I think, through the winter that he's a sprinter, and they've stuck to a really good program with him. He's won 4 in a row until the King's Bishop, where he was a good 3rd last week. You know, he won the Amsterdam prior to that. He's as good a 3-year-old sprinter as there is, and it's a tough division right now.
It's amazing when you think about the success of Edina Springs and the longevity of that success? Because we're talking about horses that are winning graded stakes races recently, right? But you go back a little bit further. You look at Judy the Beauty, right, mm-hmm. who came out of your program. Game on Dude, people have heard of him, I'm sure.
Right.
He's another one that came out of that Edina program. And the list just goes on and on.
It does, and, you know, I think this time of year it's good to reflect on those horses because we have another consignment coming up, and all of those horses were sold here at Keeneland. You know, we sold some nice horses at Saratoga, like Gangster and Kozan, who were TDN Rising Star three-year-olds this year. You know, Frank is not afraid to sell good horses.
Yeah.
And, you know, you look at the results, and that'll show you we're selling them at all levels of the market. I think we'll have, you know, more horses for good horses for people this time.
How about this year's consignment? What can we expect here at the Keeneland September Sale?
It's a smaller group than we're used to having. We have 15 yearlings. We start selling a week from tomorrow, so in book three.
Okay.
And we have, you know, some really strong pedigrees. We've got some very big, strong yearlings. You know, I think it's a good group. I think we have, you know, horses again that will fit, you know, that'll be Saturday runners. And we have some horses then in book six that I think will be good athletic horses that'll go and hopefully punch above their weight as well. So it's going to be a good group. We've got some huge pedigrees. We have, you know, several by our own stallions. We've got a couple of really nice Machu Uno colts. One out of Romance's Diane, a grade one winner. And we have another colt out of Just Breezing, who's from the family of Urban Sea, the dam of Galileo and See the Stars. And he's a really beautiful horse. He's
sure.
Got a great physical.
Yeah, it's a horrible family, huh?
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. Can't see that horse doing much.
Yeah, huh? Galileo, See the Stars. You know, unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, you think about those kind of pedigrees and coming later on in the sale, right? I spent some time in the first half of the program visiting with Tom Thornberry, the associate director of sales here at Keeneland, and he talked about the strength of book one and the mm-hmm. pedigrees and the confirmation of those horses, and that's true. And you would expect that from horses that are in book one. But you're talking about horses selling later in the sale from Edina Springs. And I've often maintained that if you're looking for a graded stakes winner, you don't have to shop here in book one. You can find those horses later in the sale.
Absolutely, you can. And, you know, you, as a consignor, you want to position your horses where they stand out. And I think on paper, these horses are absolute no-brainers when we get into the second week of the sale. And I think people will look at them and see the physicals match. So,
yeah.
You know, you just want to, you know, keep yourself in the best of company and your horses in the worst, whether you're at the racetrack or somewhat in the sales ring. You want to be in the top quarter of what's on offer in those days and get fair market value, and hopefully they go to the right homes.
What's more important at a boutique, well, I don't even call it boutique sale, but a premier sale like this here at Keeneland? So many horses, more than 4,000 cataloged. As a consignor, what's more important, pedigree or confirmation, or are you looking for both?
I think you're looking for both. I think confirmation counts for an awful lot. You know, good pedigreed horses that don't match up physically don't tend to bring very good money, and that's just the fact. And in a way, that's really how it should be. I mean, people need to buy athletes first and foremost, but, you know, you have to have enough strength in the pedigree to be able to see that horse running at the level you want it to run at, be it a, you know, Saturday at Saratoga or Keeneland, or, you know, if you're looking for midweek in the regional tracks, you know.
Yeah.
But you have to have an athlete, and then the pedigree sort of determines what you have to pay for it, or maybe what the ceiling might be. And, of course, you know, you're half right a quarter of the time.
Yeah.
Well said. Cormac Brennick here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Of course, Cormac with Edina Springs getting ready to sell 1 week from today. And you can stop by their consignment, say hello to Cormac, tell him you heard him here on the show, and take a look at those outstanding horses. Let's talk about some of the Edina stallions. We mentioned the name Macho Uno, and we talked about Private Zone, and he's a horse, a Breeders' Cup champion, that has really done a lot of good things for you.
He has. He's a real mainstay of the roster. You know, he's a horse that stands at the $20,000 level, and there are very few horses, stallions in Kentucky, that have those credentials that stand at that kind of number. You're looking at, you know, a little cadre of horses like Exchange Rate and, you know, Sky Mesa and Flatter and Machu Uno. Those are basically the ones, and they're all good stallions that really have a place in the market, you know. So it's a very important level to be at. You know, a lot of the horses at that price range are unproven, or maybe are coming on the downside of careers or something like that, but to have really good solid horses that produce year in and year out at that level is important. They find a lot of interest from breeders.
How about my man Ghost Zapper? How's he doing?
He couldn't be doing any better. Yeah. You know, this has been another great year for him. It's great that, you know, Frank has a homebred Shaman Ghost, won the Queen's Plate. You know, he keeps coming up. He's got some really nice two-year-olds that are just beginning to be unveiled. You know, Baffert has Mount Veeder now that's going to run in the stake tomorrow at Lausanne.
Sure.
And Gamble's Ghost is going to run in the Natalma. Ivan Dales is homebred in Canada. It looks like a really good horse, too. So, you know, this could be another hopefully good weekend where some of his two-year-olds hit the highlights. But I'm really looking forward to this sale with his yearlings. This crop were conceived at $40,000 when he had really proven himself and his stud feet began to rise again. This is that first crop of, you know, a better quality group of mares again, you know, with off the higher stud fee, and those yearlings are off on offer here. And I've seen some already at the sale. I'm very, very happy with them. Jody Huckabee has a really racy looking colt. That's the first one of his in the ring, of Ghost Sappers in the ring. That's up at Barn 20, a really fast looking horse, and I think there are going to be plenty more through the sale.
That's great. That's one of the dynamics that I love about this business, is that, you know, you're talking about other people's horses that they're selling, even though you guys were a consigner here at the sale as well, but they have horses that are by your stallions, and you want those horses to sell well. So you're cheering for other consigners to do well, just like they're cheering for you to do well if you have horses by their stallions.
Absolutely. You know, nobody, even in the scope of Frank's operation, can support a stallion on his own, you know, to the level that getting a group of shareholders and other breeders into that horse would, yep, would do and produce. So, you know, it's very... We take a lot of pride in that. We take a lot of pride. I mean, Ghost Sapper has a half-brother to Lady Eli that's going to sell. Mm-hmm. I think it's on Wednesday this week.
Right. And no pedigree there either, right?
No, right. Right. And, you know, Runnymede sent that mare, Sacre Coeur, to Ghost Sapper a few years ago, and it was, you know, you take pride in that. It's something that really is a stamp of approval from a really top breeder, and that's a really good colt by all accounts.
As you know, I had the chance to spend the last 7 weeks at Saratoga as we created that new Saturdays at Saratoga broadcast series and brought people coverage of the stakes races every single Saturday. It was a lot of fun, and I spent some time talking with Patty and Dean Reeves Thoroughbreds, yes, the owners of Mucho Macho Man, and we started reflecting on some of his top performances, including that win in the Breeders' Cup. And you think about how good he was on the racetrack, mm-hmm, and I can only imagine how excited you must be about seeing him at stud.
Yeah, he's a pretty unique horse. You know, a couple of things about him that really stand out is he was a June 15th foal, and he is a very, very big horse. You know, he's a big, leggy horse. He's almost 17 hands, stands over a lot of ground, and you think about him as a two-year-old and being such a late foal and still being graded placed twice behind To Honor and Serve in the Nashua and the Remsen. And then he ran on all three legs of the Triple Crown before he even turned 3 years, yeah, of age biologically. So he's a pretty unique horse, and Kathy Ritvo did a great job with him, kept him sound and kept him really at the top of his game as an older horse for two more full seasons. And, you know, really it's great. He's a $5.6 million earner. He's the highest earner on our roster, which is saying something.
Yeah. Well, how about another relative newcomer to that stallion roster that's point of entry? Tell me about him.
Yeah, I couldn't be more excited about him. He's such a beautiful horse. You know, he's a son of Dynaformer, and he's got so much quality. You know, his first foals are getting some very good reviews from some of the top breeders. So we're getting packages of mares put together already for his third season at stud, and you can't be in a better position than that.
He absolutely cannot, and Adina Springs always seems to be well positioned. They are again this year with their sales consignment at the Keeneland September sale. Again, they start selling 1 week from today in book number three. Yeah,
correct.
What barn will you be in? Do you know?
I think it's nine.
I'll have to look
that up. That's
I
a week, that's
we
a week away.
The whole interview, he nailed it. I stumped him with the barn number. Yeah, but you,
the softball, I always miss those.
Grab your catalog, book number three, check out the Adina consignment, circle it, go by and see Cormac and all the great folks. They do a tremendous job. And Cormac, can't thank you enough for all your support of what we're doing here on the network. As you know, it's greatly appreciated. And all the best here at the sale and moving forward.
Thanks a lot, Mike. We're glad to be part of it. Yeah. Keep it up.
Yeah, you too. Keep it rolling. You can go to adinastallions.com to see a complete listing of all the Adina Stallions, not just here in Kentucky, but also at Adina Springs North. It's an impressive roster of stallions in both places. Do that at adinastallions.com. We're going to get to one more commercial break. We'll come back with your KTA KTOB update. Your Road to the Breeders' Cup segment is coming up as well with Jeff Bratt from Woodbine to talk about all those Winning Your Inn races taking place north of the border this weekend. This is the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships.
Tollgate Hay Company in Georgetown, Kentucky is family owned and operated and offers top quality local and northern hay and straw. At Tollgate Hay Company, you'll find hay in both large and small squares with western hay available upon request. Are you in need of bagged shavings or the best in McCauley's feed? Tollgate Hay has you covered. So call today, 502-542-8343. That's 502-542-8343. 542-8343. Tollgate Hay Company.
What's on your mind, kid? Make it fast.
I'd like to work here at Jimmy John's, world's greatest gourmet sandwich shop, sir.
Why do you want to work at Jimmy John's, kid?
I'm perfect for Jimmy John's.
Doing what?
Delivery.
Delivery?
Delivery.
We deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
That's what I heard.
What'd you hear?
You deliver pretty fast here at Jimmy John's.
Then you heard right.
I'm a fast study, sir.
You know the Jimmy John's slogan?
The Jimmy John's slogan.
Jimmy John's slogan is sub so fast you'll freak.
Sub so fast you'll freak is a swell slogan, sir.
When people call for a Jimmy John's sandwich, they want it fast.
Then I'm your man, sir.
How so?
Because I'm fast.
Fast at what?
Fast at everything.
Can you deliver fast?
I can deliver fast.
How fast?
I can run a 440 in 220.
Minutes?
No seconds.
That's fast. You deliver before?
I delivered newspapers before.
Were you fast?
Very fast.
How fast?
People got tomorrow's paper today.
That's fast.
So do I have the job?
Not so fast. How do I know you're not just some fast talker?
I can get your references.
When?
Now.
These are good references.
Thank you.
But at Jimmy John's, you got to be more than fast.
More than fast.
You got to be polite.
Fast and polite.
Fast and polite.
I can do fast and polite.
Okay, give me some time to think it over.
Okay.
Okay, I thought it over. When can you start?
Now.
Now is good. What's your name, kid?
Stefan Avalapadopoulos.
Too long. How about Ed?
That's fine.
Welcome aboard, Ed.
Jimmy John's. Exceptional delivery. Order online at jimmyjohns.com. When the Lexus LS was introduced, it changed the industry. Decades of world's first and countless awards later, it's considered by many to be the finest vehicle in the world. So how do you improve upon the impossible standard you've set? Piece by methodical piece, scrutinize every aspect of the driving experience in search of new ways to surprise and inspire those inside. I'm Mike Penna, and I will tell you firsthand that you can say the same things about the people at the Lexus store of Lexington. The people truly do make the difference. From the Godfather Tony Attiano to their outstanding sales team, I promise that when you walk through their doors on the corner of New Circle and Liberty, you'll feel the same way. And if you're in the horse business, there's no reason to go anywhere else. The people at the Lexus store are horse people. They're actively involved with supporting the industry, and they want to be the dealership of the equine industry. So stop in and see them and find out for yourself what it means to be a part of the pursuit of perfection at the Lexus store of Lexington.
Hi, this is the Big A, Anthony Stabile, inviting you to join me for Express Bet Radio on HRRN. Beginning Wednesday, September 23rd, tune in for live racing action from around the country every Wednesday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. Eastern. It's the place to be on your drive home, through the final furlong of your workday, and for all fans of the sport of kings. It's Express Bet Radio on HRRN, starting Wednesday, September 23rd, on Sirius 220, XM 206, and streaming worldwide at horseracingradio.net.
This is Eddie Delahousie. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Back on the Equine Forum here on HRRN, Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, previewing the Keeneland September Yearling Sale here at the Keeneland Sales Pavilion. Of course, the sale beginning Monday, 11 a.m. is when the first horse goes under the gavel. Book one comprising of 3 days this year, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Make sure you go to Keeneland.com and check out the entire catalog for this upcoming sale. Going to get to our Road to the Breeders' Cup segment. Going to be joined by Jeff Bratt, the television commentator at Woodbine, to tell you about all of the great win-in-your-in action taking place this weekend, including that Rico Woodbine Mile. We'll do that here in just a moment, but do want to bring you your KTA, KTOB update for this morning and remind you that Kentucky is quality. The Kentucky Breeders' Incentive Fund and the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund work together to provide incentives for both breeding and racing here in the state of Kentucky. The KBIF awards Kentucky breeders every time their Kentucky sired and foaled thoroughbred wins an eligible race across the globe, not just here in Kentucky, but anywhere in the world. The KTDF benefits racehorse owners and their Kentucky sired, Kentucky foaled runners. The unique program encourages owners to buy from Kentucky markets, to board on Kentucky farms, breed their mares to Kentucky stallions, and race the Kentucky Fold runners at Kentucky tracks. Your next chance to purchase a KTDF-eligible horse is at the upcoming Keeneland September Yearling Sale, which starts this Monday, as I mentioned, and it runs for 2 weeks, 12 days of sales. To learn more about all the benefits of being Kentucky bred, you can visit KentuckyBred.org. And time now to take you down the road to the Breeders' Cup.
This is the Road to the Breeders' Cup.
The race of the year for Horse of the Year.
Presented by Gainsway on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Well, edging closer to the Breeders' Cup World Championships, now just 48 days, 5 hours, and 43 minutes away from the Breeders' Cup. You're going to hear it exclusively coast-to-coast and worldwide with us on the Horse Racing Radio Network, all the coverage presented by Cal Density. But there are some Breeders' Cup implications at Woodbine this afternoon and tomorrow afternoon, and Jeff Bratt is with us now from Woodbine, and happy to have him with us here on the Equine Forum. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, great to be with you. I've been listening to the show for years, so it's really nice to finally chat in person.
Yeah, thanks so much. Appreciate you listening and appreciate you being here with us this afternoon. Tell me what we can expect. Some big races, winning your in races, not just tomorrow, but today at Woodbine.
Yeah, and really the storyline is the weather. It's a cool day. We've had a steady rain starting last night. You know, it's not been like a downpour, but it's been a steady, cool drizzle, and it's going to have an impact on the turf condition for today and tomorrow. I would say right now we're probably between good and yielding, but coming up today we have a couple of Breeders' Cup winning year in races, as you said. We do have the Grade 2 Natalma and the Grade 2 Summer Stakes, and whenever you get two-year-olds in a turf course with some give to it, you might expect some long shots. And then tomorrow we have the Canadian and, of course, the Rico Woodbine Mile, which was to be the return race for Wise Dan. Unfortunately, he's now been retired, but still a very quality field taking place tomorrow for the Woodbine Mile.
All right, well, let's start with the Natalma today. And the Natalma, of course, a win in your in for the Juvenile Fillies Turf Division. It will be 1 mile on that turf course, as you mentioned. It's probably going to have a little bit of give to it. 11 two-year-old fillies set to go to the post. How'd you see it?
This is a very interesting race, Mike. Probably the most impressive two-year-old filly that we've seen here at Woodbine. Well, it's probably one of two, and they're both in this race, as a matter of fact. Gamble's Ghost, the number four, this one being by Ghost Zapper, missed the break and was able to sweep the field to win. The Dam, a horse that had success on the grass, won the La Provaillante Stakes, and she'll do it. Now, I'm never a huge numbers guy in 5-furlong races, but visually I can tell you that she was very, very impressive. And, of course, we do have some shipping horses like No Clouds. No Clouds is kind of my long shot play in this race because if you get a chance to watch her last starts at Presque Isle, she got totally shut off at the start, and she was still able to win going away on that day. I know that the overall time wasn't very quick, but she's bred top and bottom for grass. So I think if you're looking for a bit of a long shot in that race, it could be the number two, that being No Clouds. And don't forget that Silky Girls actually had some success. This is the number six I'm speaking of now, at a mile and 16th, and now it's going to be coming back to go a 1 mile distance. So this is a very competitive race, to say the least.
Yeah, very good race up there at Woodbine later on this afternoon. Post time for the Grade 2 Natalma is set for 4:02 Eastern, so 1:02 for people listening out on the West Coast. Let's turn our attention to the race for the boys today, a win and you're in for the Juvenile Turf. That's the Grade 2 Summer Stakes, a field of 10 set to go 1 mile on that Woodbine lawn.
Now, Mike, you've been around this game for a long time, and you know that horses don't talk, but they do talk. And there's a talking horse in this race because there is one horse that we've been waiting to get into the entries, and his name is Conquest Enforcer. He's a first-time starter. He's from the Conquest stables. He's trained by Mark Cassie. Cassie won this race with a first-time starter, a filly back in 2013 named My Conquistadori. The question is, are they going to run this horse? Because Mark has been quoted in some publications saying that if the turf has some give to it, they might scratch. So you have others in here that you might want to keep an eye on, like the number five, this being Hammer's Vision, who obviously is a Grade 2 stakes place horse, and the Saratoga Special ran very, very well on that day. A couple of horses are coming out of a polytrack race here at Woodbine that ran super. Bear's Way, the 8, and Gigantic Breeze. And Mike, Gigantic Breeze, the 10, is appropriately named. This guy looks like a 4-year-old, not like a 2-year-old, and has a Giant's Causeway. So I like him in this race. He's going to be one of my plays in here for sure. But I'm a little bit worried that if the course has a lot of give to it, he might be so big, he might be scrambling a little bit. The horse that won the prep for this race was Sky Marshall. That's the number one. But certainly the talking horse is the first-time starter in here, that being Conquest Enforcer.
Visiting with Woodbine television commentator Jeff Bratt here on the Equine Forum on the Horse Racing Radio Network as we continue down that road to the Breeders' Cup World Championships here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Jeff, let's turn our attention to tomorrow and a pair of winning your ins on the docket for Sunday as well, including the Grade 2 Canadian, which is a win and you're in for the Filly and Mare Turf Division, and it's a field of 11. They will go a mile and an eighth that is carded for race number 9.
So a couple of things. First of all, we have two guaranteed pick 4 pools tomorrow. One will start off in the fourth. That pool is guaranteed at $300,000. The late pick 4 will get underway in race number 9, and that pool is guaranteed at $500,000. And, Mike, we start things off with a puzzler. This is a wide, wide open race. I am going very deep on my pick four ticket, as a matter of fact, to start things off. I'm just going to go back and look at my notes here. In the first leg, I'm going five deep on my pick four ticket. So I landed on the three, that being a Hoop of Color for Grand Motion, coming off a win at Santa Anita, and the Santa Ana was a big price on that day, but we haven't seen the horse since. Personal Diary is very consistent, that being the inside horse for conditioner Victoria Oliver, obviously one that's got a big shot in here. Locally, we have Strut the Course, who I think is better on grass. Roger Affield, he could have a big day tomorrow. He's got Uchenna, who is flying under the radar a little bit, and he's looking for his first ever Woodbine-mile win. And Overheard got some confidence back in a rather easy allowance race. But, Mike, I'm open for opinions in that race, buddy, because that is a very, very tough race to handicap.
Yeah, a very contentious race. And, again, it's a win and you're in for the Filly and Mare Turf Division. The winner will automatically qualify for a spot in the starting gate of that race right here at Keeneland at the end of October. That is race number 9. The Canadian 5:12 Eastern is the post tomorrow afternoon. It will be followed by the Grade 1 Rico Woodbine Mile, purse of $1 million. 5:43 Eastern is the post for this one. Race number 10 and a couple of familiar big-name U.S.-based runners going to the post in here with number 10, Lee, who is the 5-2 morning line favorite in the 11-horse field, and number 1, obviously, second choice at odds of 3-1. How'd you see this one, Jeff?
And the good thing is, Mike, is that Lee is proven on a turf course with some give to it. Now, his last race was obviously not great in the Whitney. He's going to try and bounce back, but he's had some success on this grass course in the past for sure. I think the best locally-based horse is Tower of Texas. I know he lost the prep. I still think he's our best local shot in here for conditioner Roger Affield. The Hall of Famer's won many races in his career, but he's never won the Woodbine Mile. We have a couple of Euros in here. Mr. Owen's getting a lot of press here. This is a three-year-old. A three-year-old has never won the Woodbine Mile, but this is a three-year-old that's going to try and do just that. We have Mondialiste, who is going to go postward for David O'Meara, coming off a win last time out at York. Grand Arch, as gritty as they come, coming off a victory last time out in the four-star Dave. Now, obviously, to me, if this race was firm, I would really, really like him if the turf course was listed as firm, because the one thing that we do here, Mike, is we protect the inside portion of the turf course for the big, big races, and there is not going to be any portable rail in effect for tomorrow, and he's going to be on turf that has not been used for the majority of the meets. He appears on paper to be absolutely the lone speed unless reporting star elects to go. If he can handle a turf course with some give to it, and if he's ready off the lengthy layoff, he's going to be my play. I just wish the turf course was listed as firm, and I don't think it's going to be tomorrow.
All right, the Rico Woodbine Mile coming up. A win and you're in for the Breeders' Cup Mile, 5:43 Eastern tomorrow afternoon. And, of course, Jeff Bratt will be there to provide all that analysis for you on the Woodbine Television. And, Jeff, really appreciate you spending some time with us here today to take us down the road to the Breeders' Cup. And, of course, like all of our guests who appear on the program, you're going to receive a gift courtesy of Embrace the Race, the apparel for the horse racing lifestyle. So we'll get that to you. And all the best today and tomorrow, my friend.
Okay, thank you very much, Mike, and thanks for being a supporter of Woodbine. Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Jeff Bratt here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. We're going to take time out for a word from the sponsor of this segment, Gainsway, and we're back to wrap up this edition of the Equine Forum.
Power.
It is Texas Red just outclassing them. Look at this for an easy one in the Breeders' Cup.
Passion.
And Materiality is undefeated. He has won the Florida Derby.
Performance.
At Charleroi in a driving finish. Charleroi to win the Oaks.
Gainsway Stallion of Fleet Alex has produced 7 Grade 1 winners, 4 in the past 10 months, including Breeders' Cup Juvenile and Jim Dandy winner Texas Red, Florida Derby hero Materiality, and Del Mar Oaks winner Charleroi. Other top runners by a Fleet Alex include Grade 1 Travers winner of Fleet Express, Grade 2 Delaware Oaks winner Dancing a Fleet, and Harissa, winner of the Grade 2 Barbara Fritchie. Eclipse champion of Fleet Alex won the Preakness and Belmont by a combined 11 3/4 lengths. A Fleet Alex standing at Gainsway.
Power, passion, performance. You know I'm talking about Gainsway Farm.
And, of course, not the only racetrack playing host to Breeders' Cup Win and You're In action this weekend. You have the Iroquois and Pocahontas later today at Churchill Downs. You have the Irish Champion Stakes in Ireland, the Coolmore Fastnet Rock Matron, which is a win and you're in for the Filly and Mare Turf Division, that one in Ireland as well, along with the Willis Champion Juvenile Stakes, a win and you're in for the Juvenile Turf, and then, of course, tomorrow, some more win and you're in action in Ireland, and, of course, we'll be rolling with our win and you're in coverage coming up at the end of September with all that coverage of the big championship day at Belmont Park in Santa Anita. It's all there on September 26th. You can go to our website, horseracingradio.net, to see a complete Road to the Breeders' Cup schedule and to check out our Breeders' Cup week schedule. And again, we're here on site at Keeneland October 30th and 31st with 10 hours of Breeders' Cup coverage those 2 days, and that coverage all presented by Cal Density. You can go to caldensity.com to learn more. I want to thank all of our guests for being with us here this morning. Tom Thornberry was with us in the first half of the program. Kyle Klinizos was here as well. Barry Berkelhammer, Cormac Brennick, and, of course, Jeff Pratt just a short time ago from Woodbine, and Jim Krigall, the owner and CEO of Cal Density, sitting in with me here this morning at the Keeneland Sales Pavilion. And Jim, I've mentioned it several times throughout the program, all of our Breeders' Cup coverage Friday and Saturday is all presented by Cal Density, and can't thank you enough for that. We've been doing a Horse of the Week segment here too, and some big name horses going under the gavel. Give me those hip numbers again.
Well, thank you, Mike. Yeah, and I appreciate Winchell Thoroughbreds for contributing to this segment. They have five horses today and at the sale, not specifically today, but throughout the next couple of weeks. One is Hip 346, which is a Tappet colt. 1023 is another Tappet, just filly. 1919 is Candy Ride as a colt, and Hat Trick, which is a filly. Hip number 2582, and we have one to go next week, which we'll highlight next week sometime.
Well done. Thank you for all your support, my friend. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
All right, for our producers, Lee Delapina, back in our Lexington studio. For Sean C. on site with us, for Jim Krigall, I'm Mike Penna. We'll talk to you next time, and of course, go Steelers.